Today's daf is Makos daf Yud Ches. We are holding on daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. We were in the middle of discussing all of the different Kal V'chomers that Rabbi Shimon made to derive all sorts of different Yisurim, five different Yisurim and Malkios from a single Pasuk. And Rava, while he was very impressed by Rabbi Shimon taking the Pasuk out of order to maximize the drashos, he didn't agree that any of the drashos were actually correct. I should mention today's shiur is sponsored by Avishai Nelishav and Numelis Chusur for Shalema, for Chaim Naftali ben Frumit Freida, as well as for Sarah Freida Bas Chaya. They should both have a for Shalema B'soch Shar Chole Yisrael. So today we're going to discuss a Zar who eats a Karban Ola before Zrika outside of Yerushalayim, that he gets five Malkios. So we're going to try to figure out whether you can actually get Malkios for all these things. Whatever happened to all these things are based on Kal V'chomer. So whatever happened to Einon Shem Minadin, Ein Masirin Minadin. So the Gemara is going to suggest maybe we're not actually learning Chiyuv Malkios in all of these cases from the Kal V'chomer, but maybe it's from not from the Kal V'chomer, maybe it's only we're learning Isurim, not Chiyuv Malkios, maybe it's only from an extra lav that the Torah says, and not purely based on a Kal V'chomer. Then the Gemara is going to suggest four additional Malkios for a Zar who eats a Karban Ola outside of Yerushalayim, and we're going to explain why those four additional Malkios are not true, why you don't get those four additional Malkios. And Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to initially think a Kohen who eats a Karban Chatos or Asham before Zrika gets Malkos, but then ultimately it's going to conclude that it's a Lav Abba Mechala Say, and that's also a very critical rule we're going to discuss today. What if you have something that you can't do that's derived from a Lashon Asay in the Pasuk? Is Lav Abba Mechala Say Lav, or is Lav Abba Mechala Say Asay? Nafkamina, do you get Malkos for it? And then we're going to discuss the mitzvah of Bikurim. And what part of the mitzvah of Bikurim is Ma'akev? Is the Mikra Bikurim Ma'akev? The Hanacha, one would assume, is certainly Ma'akev, but not necessarily. So we're going to discuss the mitzvah of Bikurim, and what's that's going to bring us into the notion of, that in that context, we're going to bring up the notion of Kolaroi Labila in Bila Ma'akevispo, that sometimes things are only Ma'akev if they can't be done. But if they can be done, you don't actually have to do them. You can be Yotze the Mitzvah, you can be Mekayim, whatever it is that you need to be Mekayim, without actually doing them, as long as you have the potential, the possibility of doing them. So we're going to have this Machlokes Tanaim, whether both the Kriya and the Hanacha are Ma'akev. And then at the very end, the Gemara is going to talk about how they would do the tenufa of the Bikurim, the waving around of the Bikurim. Who would do it? The Kohen, the Bailim. So it seems that there's a chiyuv for both of them to do it, but it seems that there's only one tenufa. So how exactly would they arrange for the tenufa of the Bikurim? So we are holding right now at, I believe, the Tani Tana Kamei de Rabbi Yochanan. Is that correct?
No.
Oh, B'chimasir Minadin. Okay. So yeah. So says the Gemara. We are right. I'm sorry. I'm in the wrong. So B'chimasir Minadin. So the Gemara just got through saying all of these different Malkios that are derived from these Kal V'chomers in the Pasuk. So we learned about all these different levels of Karbanos and how you can violate Malkios for eating them outside of the Azara, outside of Yerushalayim, before the Zrika, all of these different Yisurim. So the Gemara says, wait a second, V'chi Masirin Min Adin, can you learn an Azhara of a Lav from a Kal V'chomer? Even if you hold Onshin Min Adin, you certainly cannot learn an Azhara Min Adin. You cannot learn, even if you hold that, you can. There are two parts to every time we're going to punish somebody. There has to be one pasuk that tells us that it's Asr, that's the Azhara, and another pasuk that tells us the Chiyuv. So even if you hold the Chiyuv could be derived from a Kal V'chomer, the Onshin could be derived from a Kal V'chomer, certainly the Azhara cannot be derived from a Kal V'chomer. Says the Gemara, Isur Rabbi Alma. Rabbi Shimon is not coming to say that you have Malkios for all of these Isurim. He's only coming to tell us that that there is an Isur, meaning the idea of Ein Masirin Min Adin is that the Azhara that's going to lead to a Malkos cannot be derived from a Kal V'chomer. But the fact that something is Asr can certainly be derived from a Kal V'chomer. And that's all Rabbi Shimon is trying to say. He's just trying to tell us that that something is Asr. So really, the Ikra Pasuk of Lo Suchal is teaching a Chiyuv Malkos if you eat any of these things Chutz L'choma, because that's what it actually says in the pasuk. The fact that Rabbi Shimon learns a lav for ochel bikurim before you do the mikra bikurim, for ochel todu shlamim before you do the zrika, and all of these different things that he derives in the pasuk are only in iser; they are not malkus. Now, the brisa before that we quoted, where it stated Rabbi Shimon shita, it kept on saying loka, you know, kept on using the term malkus. Yeah, you have to say that was lav dafka. That's what Tosfos over here points out in the Surah Dibra Maskli Surah Ba'alma. They have to say that that lashon of loka was lav dafka. The Ritva says, and it's not so strange, we do find the word loka sometimes doesn't mean malkus. He says, we say by shaleach yad b'pikadon, yiloka b'cheser b'yesa. The Gemara about Metziah Daf Mem Gimel, there's no malkus when you have a pikadon and you shaleach yad b'pikadon and use it for yourself. Tosfos writes, you have to say that Reb Shimon holds that the pasuk is teaching us the Gemara thought that the pasuk was teaching us two things, malkus and iser, because it says if you don't say that, then how does Reb Shimon know to include the iser? So it's needed for the etzem chiyuv malkus to teach us chutz l'choma. But Tosfos raises other kashas on that. Obviously, there's a very long Tosfos. We're not going to go through the whole thing right now. But bottom line is that isura b'yalma, that all Rabbi Shimon is trying to say is that we learn an iser, not that we necessarily learn that you get malkus for all of these things. So ask Gemara v'amarava zar sha'achal mina ola lefnei zrika chutz l'choma l'Rabbi Shimon lo kachamesh. Rava comments that according to Rabbi Shimon, if a non-kohen eats from a carbon ola, which nobody is supposed to eat from, and he eats from it before Zrika, and he eats from it outside of the Azara, outside of Yerushalayim even. So according to Rabbi Shimon, he gets five Malkios. What are the five Malkios for? So Rashi enumerates them. For eating kachim outside of Yerushalayim, for eating chutz l'klayim, for eating kachim before zrikas dam, for eating a carbon ola which is never supposed to be eaten, and for a zar eating kachim. So five separate malkios. But you do see that the way Rava understands Rabbi Shimon is that these aren't just isurim bialma; these are malkios. It's five malkios. Says Gemara, chamishi isurim havu. No, he doesn't mean five malkios. Even when Rava was teaching up Rabbi Shimon, he only meant five isurim. He didn't mean five malkios. So ask Marava Nantanan. But you know, our Mishnah, we're learning Perek Eluhain Halokin, and our Mishnah listed Eluhain Halokin, and in the list of the Mishnah we learn about Bikurim before Mikra Bikurim, Kache Kachim Chutz L'Klayim. Those are only derived from the drasha that Rabbi Shimon makes. So doesn't that tell you that that Rabbi Shimon really means that you get Malkios and that it's not just an Isura Bialma? Ella Krayuseruhu. What you have to say is the pasuk that Rabbi Shimon darshins is an extra pasuk. It's not purely based on Kavod Chomer. There's actually an extra pasuk because Michti Ksiv. The pasuk already says, and we sort of paraphrase the pasuk or misquote the pasuk a little bit, but the pasuk really says Ve'vesem Shama Aloseichem V'zivchechem V'smasroseichem V'shumasiyadchem V'nidrechem V'nidvoseichem U'v'choros Bekarchem V'tzonchem V'achaltem Sham Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem. That it lists all of these different levels of kabanos, all these different levels of kadosh items, and you have to eat them. So in these psukim, we already mention all of the items that are mentioned later in the pasuk of lo suchal echol b'sharecha. So when the hemshich of the pasuk wants to tell me lo suchal lichtov rachmana lo suchal liochlam, just say lo suchal liochlam. What's them? What's liochlam? Everything we mentioned earlier. Mahader mefarshi behu rachmana lamali. Why does the Torah have to go then and enumerate them again and list them all again? Since it lists them again, it mentions them all again, it says, if it says a separate lav of chutz l'choma for each and every one of them. And obviously I don't need a lav of chutz l'choma for each and every one of them, because by each one it's obvious that chutz l'choma you're going to get malkus. So imeinu inyan l'chutz l'choma, so teneu inyan to what it does apply to. Meaning by each of them there are two malkus. One for chutz l'choma, because the earlier pasuk say lo suchal, and the second because it says lo suchal again, coming to teach me by bikurim that you're chayiv kodem kriya, by other karbanos where there's rika that you're chayiv if you did before zrika, by other isurim that Rabbi Shimon mentions li isur v'lo l'malkos by the others. But that's what it's coming to teach me. That's the extra pasuk aside from the isur that's mentioned in the Mishnah of kachik kachim chutz l'klayim, which is from the pasuk besad the treif lo sochlu, as we're soon about to see. That's how Rashi understands. Tosos has four kashas on Rashi, two different other explanations of how to read our Gemara, but let's try to keep it as simple as possible. That's how Rashi understands. Says the Gemara, Gufa. Going back to what Rava said previously, Amar Rava, Zor Sha'achal Min Ha'ol Lefnei Zrika Chutzacham L'Rabbi Shimon Lo Kachamish. If a non-Kohen eats from a Karban Ola before the Zrika, outside of the Azara, outside of Yerushalayim, according to Rabbi Shimon, he gets 5 Malkios. Ask the Gemara, I could think of another one. The Gemara is going to suggest 4 more that we could think of. But let's ask the Gemara, Vililki Nami Mishum Vizor Lo Yochal Ki Kodashem. Why doesn't he also get Malkios because of the Pasuk Vizor Lo Yochal Ki Kodashem? That's the Pasuk by the Parshas Hamiluim, by the Basar of the Ayil and the Lechem that Aaron and Aaron Ubanov were commanded to eat. So the Pasuk says, yeah, Aaron Ubanov are commanded to eat this, but no Zar is allowed to eat it. So from the fact that the Torah says that the Isra Achila is Shekodesh Heim, so we can learn that the Isra Achila for Zarim applies to, this is an Isra Achila that applies to all Kache Kachim. Anything that is Kodesh, a Zar is not allowed to eat. So if a Zar eats a Karban Ola, he should be in violation of this Isra as well. Says Gemara, no, that Isra is only Hanimili Hecha de la Kohanim Chazi. That Isra is only when you're dealing with something that a Kohen is allowed to eat and a Zar is not allowed to eat. So that's where we apply the Isra of Vizorlo Yoch. That a Zar can't eat it because it's Kodesh, but a Kohen would have been allowed to eat it. But here we're talking about a Karbonola. Karbonola nobody's allowed to eat, and therefore it's not included in this Isser of Zar Lo Yochal Ki Kodesh Heim. So Gemara says, okay, but I got another one. Vililki Nami, why doesn't he get a sixth Malkus for Mishum Basar Basada Trefa Lo Sochelu? The Pasuk is clearly not about the Isser of Trefa alone, because the word Basada is totally extra in the pasuk, if we're only for the Isra of Trefa. So that's why the Gemara Maseches Zvachim and Daf Pei Beis says that we compare Basar to a Sada, that just like a Sada is Ein L'Mechitzos, so too Basar, Kivan Shiyatza Basar Chutz L'Mechitzos, so the Gemara says Ne'esar. Once Basar goes outside of its Mechitza, whatever its Mechitza is, whatever limitation on location the Torah places on that Basar, once it leaves that location, once it goes chutz l'michitzaso, it becomes aser. So, for example, kachim kachim that goes outside of the azara, or kachim kalim that goes outside of the chomas Yerushalayim, becomes aser. So, if a person eats a karban ola chutz l'choma, he should get malchus for that pasuk as well. So the Gemara says, no, hani miliyechid b'fnim chazi. That pasuk is telling us that something that you're allowed to eat inside of its choma becomes aser to eat outside of its choma. But hachad b'fnim nami lo chazi. But over here, Bifnim, it's also not allowed to eat it, right? Because even it's a carbonola, so you're not allowed to eat it anywhere. So therefore, it does not get included in the iser of basar basada trefa, because it's obvious that it's going to be that it's also even if it's inside of those mechitzos. Now it's interesting. The Gemara Maseches Chulin and Daf Samaches has a totally different drasha from basar basada trefa about something going outside of its mechitza. The Gemara tells us that an ubar that's hotzi yado me rechem imo at the time of the mother's shechita, a fetus sticks its hand out from the mother's womb at the time that the mother is shechted. So normally there's a halacha called ben pakoi. You shecht the mother, there's a fetus inside. The fetus is mutar b'achil, it's mutar b'shechitas imo. That's a halacha ben pakoi. But the baby sticks its arm out before the shechita, so that arm is aser ba'achila. That's yatza chutz l'mechitzaso. It's considered that it went out chutz l'mechitzaso. I don't know how often this happens, but that's what the Gemara says, such a drasha. So Tosfos raises the question, you know, once we have this additional Isser that's derived from the same Pasuk, the Gemara could have just answered, you know why you don't get Malkus for this Isser when you eat a Karban Ola outside of Yerushalayim? Because it's a Lav Shebecholos. And the rule is, a Lav Shebecholos, you don't get Malkus on. Lav Shebecholos is something that is one Pasuk, but we derive many different Isserim from the same Pasuk. Whenever the Rishonim want to give the classic example of Lav Shebecholos, the Gemara gives the example of Losochel Al Adam. The Losochel Al Adam is the Lav Shebechlalos, that there are 5 different Yisurim that we learn from Losochel Al Adam. We learn the Gemara in Bracha says that a person is not allowed to eat kodem shemispalal al damchem. The person's not supposed to eat before davening. That's when pasul sochal al dam. That based in that that is going to be mechayv some misa should not be eating before they have a gemar din of misa for somebody. Lo sochal al dam. We have all sorts of different isurim. So lav shebcholos, you don't get malchus. This luchora is the lav shebcholos. A fetus sticking its arm out has absolutely nothing to do with a carbon ola going chutz l'mechitzasa, going outside of Yerushalayim. Nevertheless, we derive both isurim from it. So it would seem obvious that you can't get malchus for it. So that's what Tosus asks over here, Dibra Maskel Vililki. So Tosus suggests that Lav Shebecholos is only when you learn different isurim that have a different shame isur. But over here, all of the isurim, even though it seems that a fetus sticking its arm out has nothing to do with a carbon going chutz l'mechitzaso, but it's all a psul yotze. Meaning, if I ask, what is the Isser? The answer is, it's the Isser Yotze. The Isser Yotze means different things, but that's all the same shame Isser. And that's not a Lav Shebecholos. The Sochal Adam is a Lav Shebecholos because it doesn't even have the same shame Isser. There's not, you wouldn't call eating before davening the same thing that you would call eating before being Mechayev Misa. There's no same shame Isser on other Lav Shebecholos. As he Tosa says, it's like the lav of Nosar. Even though we learn a lot of Isurim of Nosar, Nosar of Kachim Kalim, Nosar of Kachim Kachim, right? You're not allowed to leave over any type of carbon, a Kachim Kachim carbon, Kachim Kalim carbon, but it's all Nosar. It's all the same shame Isur. You can violate it multiple ways, but that doesn't make it a lav Shebecholos. That's somewhat of a Chiddush, no? Nosar, I understand. It's all the same shame Isur. Your mom is doing the same thing. It's just with different levels of Kedusha of Karbanos. Over here, it's a totally different event. It's an animal sticking its arm out of the mother's womb, not even a kachim animal, not even a carbon, and that's an isser of that it's not included in the ben pakua, and then you have a separate isser of kachim leaving the mechitza. So you would think that wouldn't even be called the same shame isser, but that's the chiddush of Tosos, that this is not a lav shebecholos because it's the same shame isser. The Ramban, however, says that yeah, it is a lav shebecholos. Why didn't the Gemara answer that it's lav shebecholos? So he says, according to Rashi, it's not a kasha, because Rav is not saying that you get five malkios. The way we read the Gemara, according to Rashi, Rav only meant that you get multiple isurim. So when the Gemara is asking, why don't you get malkios for this also? All we're asking is, why isn't it a sixth Isser that's being violated? So in a chinami, it wouldn't be malchus. We're never asking about malchus. The whole sugi is not about malchus. It keeps using the term malchus, but it doesn't really mean malchus. It's only isser that we're talking about. So that's how the Ramban understands, at least according to Rashi. So it says Gemara, okay, but I have another extra malchus that l'chora you could add on over here. Vililki nami, why don't we say that a zar that eats a carbon ola that went outside of Chomus Yerushalayim is chayiv malchus? Additionally, Kidder Rabbi Eliezer, for Rabbi Eliezer said, Dam Rabbi Eliezer darshan. The pasuk says lo yochal ki kodeshu. Pasuk says the whole pasuk mi vasar mi besara mi luim min alechem adaboker v'saraftas anosar be'esh, that whatever you leave over from the basar mi luim you can't eat. You have to. It's nosar. It's kodesh. It's asba achila because it's nosar. So from the fact that the Torah says you can't eat it ki kodesh, so kol shem a kodesh pasul ba'akas of litin nosar say alachilaso. So Rabbi Eliezer says we could darshan that anything that is kodesh and is pasul, there's an additional losase for eating it. So an ola that was yotze chutz l'choma, it became pasul b'yitzi asa. When it went outside, it became pasul. So you should get malchus for this lav as well. Tosus asks the kasha, why doesn't the Gemara say that's also lav shebecholos? Because we learn all different types of psulim that are yotze. So he says, like we said in the name of the Ramban, Tosfos gives that answer now, that if you say like Rashi, that it's all that we're not talking about Malkios, so Lav Shebecholos is an irrelevant issue over here, because Lav Shebecholos is an issue about Malkios, it's not an issue about Isurim. You can have multiple Isurim from the same pasuk. But the Gemara's answer is, Hani mili hecha dekodem psulo chazi. A very similar answer to the previous questions. This isser of something that's kodesh becoming usher to eat when it becomes pasul is only something that before it became pasul was kosher to eat. Over here, this was pasul even before it was it became pasul, even before it was yotze chutz l'chitza. It was a karbonola. So karbonola, you're never allowed to eat. So that's why you don't get malchus for this additional lav. And then the Gemara has one final suggestion. V'lilki nami, why don't we say that the zar who eats a karbonola should be chayv malchus ki'idoch to Rabbi Eliezer, because of another din that Rabbi Eliezer taught us. Titanya, Rabbi Eliezer omer, Rabbi Eliezer says by the karbon mincha of a kohen. Pasuk says, v'kol minchas kohen chalil tiyeh lo se'achel. So we should learn, kol shu b'chalil tiyeh. Anything that the obligation is to totally burn it, like the mincha of a kohen and like every single carbon ola, so litain losasei alachilaso. There is a losasei to eat such a thing, and by the ola, certainly it's kalil tiyah. So enochidami says Gemara. Rava mehai kraka amar. You're right. You got me. There's a sixth one. There's a sixth isser that's violated. Rava was just saying that according to Rabbi Shimon, there are five isserim that you could derive from a single pasuk. But if you look through the rest of the Torah, you may find additionally surim as well. So some of the Rishonim understand, now we backtrack on all the previous answers as well. Meaning we had four different suggestions of additionally surim that might be violated. So we said, oh no, these isurim only apply to things that were kosher otherwise, and this wasn't kosher otherwise. Now we're changing all that. We're saying, no, these isurim apply even to things that weren't kosher otherwise. And in Achinami, there are nine isurim that are violated. That's how some of the Rishonim understand. Other Rishonim say, no, those answers will attack good answers. We're only adding one extra isser over here. But the idea of anything that's bechalil tiyeh, that there's a losase alachilaso, is the idea is that it's not only by the minachos that if a kohen eats the minchas kohen that he violates the law, but anything that's bechalil, if he eats from anything that has to be brought on the mizbeach. So the question is, how does he know that? Meaning, it doesn't really say that in the pasuk. The words chalil tiyeh are definitely needed to teach the din about the mincha of a kohen, right? The mincha of a kohen has to be totally destroyed and you're not allowed to eat it. So how does Rabbi Lezer know to Darshan that this applies to everything that's chalil tiyeh? Is there some sort of gzer shava? Is there some sort of hekish that applies this to every other example of a karban ola? That's unclear. It doesn't seem that there's a full drasha over here. So the Aruch Linar suggests that maybe it's from the word tiyeh, havayos acheros that are also bechalil. That it's not just that kalil oto or whatever. Tihiyah means that any other situation that has a similar requirement of utterly destroying it. Difficult. It's difficult to understand exactly what that diuk is. Why there would be such a diuk? But that's what the Aruch Linar suggests, that maybe this word of tiyah is extra because by the minchas kohen that's burnt, the Gemara Menachos learns from gzer shava kalil kalil. So we could have learned that without the word tiyah. Torah Tamima writes that it could be that this diuk, because of that it could be the reason for this diuk is because the pashtus is that you need the pasuk to first say lo sochel and then say kalil tiyah. Like normally you tell me you're not allowed to eat it, you know, go from a kalil a chamur. You're not allowed to eat it. Not only are you not allowed to eat it, you have to destroy it entirely as well. The fact that the Torah takes it out of order and first says v'chol minchas kohen asher kalil tiyah lo sochel, so that's what we're darshaning over here. That the Torah is telling, it's told of the isra of achila in kalil tiyah. Why is there an isra achila? Because it's kalil tiyah. Ah, so that's the drasha, that any time there's kalil tiyah, mimela, there's an isra achila as well. That's how the Torah Tamima understands the drasha. But you see, the Achronim are working on it, because it's not a pashut drasha. It doesn't really make normal sense to make a drasha like that. Okay, now the Gemara discusses eating a karban chatos or asham before the zrika. Amrav gidol amarav. And there's a simon over here, kuza. Some simonim are easy to figure out. This one is not. Unclear what the simon of kuza is. The Achronim all take a stab at it, you know, try to figure it out, but none of them are abundantly clear. So anyway, Amrav Gidol Amrav. Kohen Sha'achal, one thing that all the Acharim agree is, the Chaf is for Kohen. Kohen Sha'achal Mechatos V'yashem. A Kohen who eats from a Kohen Chatos Rashem Lefnei Zrika Loka. Before the Zrika Stam, he's Chayv Malkus. So my time, why does he get Malkus? Amakrava Achlo Samashar Kupar Behem. from the fact that the Torah mentions the Heter Achila in the context of the Heter Achila, it mentions Kapara, so we darshin, yeah, La'achar Kapara in, after the Kapara, which is accomplished by the Zrikas Dam, the Kohen is allowed to eat. But Lefnei Kapara, before the Kapara, meaning before the Zrikas Dam, lo, the Kohen is not allowed to eat. Even though it doesn't say it in the Lashon of Lav, it says it, Va'achlu Asama Shekupra Bam, it's a Lashon of Asay, Lav Abamachlal Asay, Lav Hu. The Gemara says, yeah, a Lav that is derived, something that you're not allowed to do, that's derived from a Pasuk that speaks in a positive terminology, in a Lashon of an Asay, is a lav. It's considered a los haseh, and therefore you would get malchus for this. A kohen eating the chatos rasha before the zrika would in fact get malchus. So Masiv Rava asks Rava on the klal of lava b'machal say lav v'chol behema mafreses parasov v'shosas she'asoshtei parasos malas gerib behema also tochelu. Pasuk tells us the simane kashrus of an animal. What makes a behema tahora that you're allowed to eat? So it has to have split hooves, it has to chew its cud, etc. So osa tochelu. Ve'in behema, there's no etc. It has to have split hooves and has to its cud. Osa tochelu ve'in behema acheres tochelu. Only such animals that have both of these simanim are you allowed to eat. You're not allowed to eat any other type of animal. Ve'ikitka amrit. But if you're going to say that any time anything that could be derived from a diuk of an asay has a status of a lav. When the pasuk goes on to say, and don't eat the gamel and the arneves and the shafan, because they are all malegera, even though they're not, but parsalo ifrisu. Lamali, why do I need the pasuk to tell me a separate lav for all these things? I could already know it from the first pasuk. So isn't that a raya that lav above mechal asay is not a lav, that it's an asay, and that's why the Torah had to go out of its way to make a separate lav for all these non kosher animals? Says Marana, Eli itmar, hachi itmar. We have to say this as follows: that Amrav Gid Amrav Zar Shachol Nechatos Vashem Lefnei Zrika. Just change one word: Potter, not Loke. Potter, that you don't get Malkus. Oh, so he was really saying the exact opposite of what we thought he was saying. My taima, why is it Potter? Damakrav, achlil samashar kupar behem. And we darshan kalhecha, the Karina Bev, achlil samashar kupar behem, Karina Bev, vizor lo yochal. That whenever achlil samashar kupar behem applies, meaning after the Zrikas Hadam, where the Kohanim are allowed to eat, that's where there's an Isser of Zar Lo Yochal, that a Zar who eats them is in violation of Lav. And anything that's before the Zrika, the Zar is not allowed to eat. No, I'm sorry, it's not that the exact opposite, we're a totally different halacha. That initially we thought of Gidolam Rav was teaching me about a Kohen who eats before the Zrika. And we said that a Kohen who eats before the Zrika gets Malkus. Now we're saying, no, it's got nothing to do with the Kohen. It's about a non-Kohen who's not allowed to eat this at all. It's kachem kachem. He's not allowed to eat it at all. But if he eats it before the Zrika, he doesn't get Malkus. His Malkus only begins when the Kohen is allowed to eat it. When it becomes mutter for a Kohen, which is after the Zrika, that's when a Zar would get Malkus. Now, the Zar is not allowed to eat it before the Zrika either, but he's not going to get Malkus for eating it before the Zrika, because his Chiv Malkus only begins when the Heter for Kohanim applies. Now, it's interesting, the way the Gemara formulated the Raya, that a Lav Abba Mechlal Asay is not a Lav, right? What was the Raya? From the parsha of non-kosher animals. That non-kosher animals is already an assay, and yet the Torah still feels a need to go out of its way to make a los assay about non-kosher animals. That's a strange kasha, because sometimes we do say that the Torah is mechayiv shnei lavim. I mean, we have multiple times in this parak, and we had already, and we're going to have many more, we're going to have a few more, where we say a person can do one aveira, and he gets five malkias. So sometimes you even have multiple lavim for a single avera. So why is this such a raya? Maybe it's the chayv shnei lavin that the Torah says a lashon of los say not to eat the arneves, not to eat the chazir. So maybe these are all just a second lav. So it could be that the kasha is really from the lashon of the sifra. The lashon is osato chelu osaba achila ve'in behema tmeya ba achila. So the lashon of the sifra, which is the real source of what we're quoting from over here, makes it very clear that the first pasuk is not a lav, even though it's a lav abamachal asay. So that's really the raya, that if lav abamachal asay were a lav, you wouldn't need los ochelu in order to teach a lav. The way the sifra says it is, you need los ochelu in order to make a lav over here, not in order to make a second lav over here. The Ritva writes that since the Kasha is from the Sifra, from the Torah's Kohanim, the Gemara can't, that's why the Gemara can't just answer the other possible answer that we could have said, Rav Tanu Hu Palu. Keep in mind, we're asking on Rav Gidol Amar Rav. So normally, when you ask, Rav, you're against the Braisa. So, okay, Rav Tanu Hu Palu. Rav didn't have a problem arguing on Tanayim, for whatever reason. That's an interesting discussion in its own right, why Rav didn't have a problem arguing on Tanayim when all of Bnei Doro, everyone, Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan, everyone, we never find Rabbi Yochanan Tanu Upalik, Shmuel Tanu Upalik. They didn't like arguing on Tanayim, but Rav had no problem arguing on Tanayim. But because it's a Sifra, because it's a Torah's Kohanim, we can't say Rav Tanu Upalik because Rav is the author of the Sifra. So that's the problem. That's what the Ritva writes over here. So it's a stira within Rav, and that's why we can't say the Rav Tanahu Palag. Okay, so that's in terms of the issue of eating before Zrika. So now the Gemara is going to move to discuss the mitzvah of Bikurim. So when it comes to Bikurim, a person has any of the seven fruits that Eretz Yisrael is praised with. Halacha is when they first grow, you're supposed to identify them when they first start to sprout, and then you tie a string around them, and then ultimately when they grow, you bring them in baskets to Yerushalayim in a whole parade. You bring them to the Azara, you place them down in the Azara, and if a person, and you read a special parsha of Arami Avidavi. So the Mishnah said, if a person eats Bikurim before reading the parsha of Arami Avidavi, our Mishnah said he gets Malkus. So we already explained in the Gemara that yes, that is the Shita of some Tanaim, of Rabbi Shimon, of Rabbi Akiva, but the Chachamim think that no, the Kriya is not Ma'akev. Even if you didn't do the Mikra Bikurim, it's not Ma'akev. The mitzvah, and you're allowed to, and you would not, you would not get Malkus. So the Gemara is going to now quote what the Amoraim have to say about this issue. So Amar Rav Lazar, Amar Hoshaya, Bikurim hanacha ma'akev ben. The placement of the Bikurim in the Azara is ma'akev. The Kohen is not allowed to eat it until you had a hanacha. But Kriya ain ma'akev ben. Reading the Mikra Bikurim is not going to be ma'akev, the mitzvah of Bikurim. You're allowed to eat it before the Mikra Bikurim. Clearly, the Ritva points out, there's still a mitzvah of Mikra Bikurim. It was just saying, that, meaning, I'm sorry, obviously it's a mitzvah of Mikra Bikurim. There's still a requirement not to eat it until you do the Mikra Bikurim. We're just saying that you want to get Malkus for the Isra of eating it before you do the Mikra Bikurim. But as, certainly as a mitzvah and a muvchar, you're supposed to do it right. You're supposed to wait till the Mikra Bikurim and then eat it only after the Mikra Bikurim, but you want to get Malkus. That's all he's saying. So, Frak the Gemara, this was Rabbi Lazar in the name of Rabbi Hoshaya. Umiyam Rabbi Lazar Hachi, does Rabbi Lazar really say that in the name of Rav Hoshaya? V'am Rabbi Lazar, am Rav Hoshaya, Hifrish Bikurim Kodem L'chag. Let's say a person was Mafrish Bikurim before Sukkos, with the intention to bring them before Sukkos. Meaning, he set aside Bikurim, and his plan was to bring them before Sukkos, and therefore, at that point, they became Chayiv in Kriya, in Mikra Bikurim, which can only be done before Sukkos. V'avar Aleyen L'chag. And then, something happened, for whatever reason, he didn't bring them before Sukkos. Halacha is Ye Rakvu. We allow these fruits to be rot and thrown in the garbage. So my lav mishum de la masi in the kriya lehem, isn't this because you're unable to do the mikra bikurim after Sukkos? And if you're unable to do the mikra bikurim, the whole you can't do the whole mitzvah of bikurim. You can't eat the fruits. The whole thing it's ma'akev. The zman of bringing the bikurim really is not the deadline is not Sukkos. The deadline is Chanukah. You bring the bikurim any time between Shavuos and Chanukah. I don't think that counts as a Daf Yomi coincidence because we were mentioning between Shavuos and Chanukah, it's quite a long time. Okay, but anyway, so the Zman of Mikra Bikurim, of bringing the Bikurim, is any time between Shavuos and Chanukah. But if you bring it before Sukkos, you could do the Mikra Bikurim. After Sukkos, you can't do the Mikra Bikurim because in the Parsha of Bikurim it says, V'samachta b'chalatov. And Chazal Darshan that the Parsha's Bikurim has to be done in a Zman Simcha. We assume that only from Shavuos till Sukkos is a Zman Simcha because only then is it the time of the picking of the fruits and really enjoying the harvest of the field. But after that, it's mevi ve'eno kore. So Chanukah is the drop dead, you know, last time to even be mevi the Bikurim, because it says Shartavi Me'artzucha, that any time it's Mitzuyin al Panei Artzucha from Chanukah, it's not even available in the fields anymore. So now, we're saying that if a guy had intended to bring the Bikurim before Sukkot, it's very important that he had intended to bring it before Sukkot, because then it became Chayiv in Mikra Bikurim. If he had intended to bring it after Sukkot, it never became Chayiv in Mikra Bikurim, because you bring it after Sukkot, there is no Mikra Bikurim, there's Havas Bikurim, no Mikra Bikurim. No, but he intended to bring it before Sukkot, so it became Chayiv in Mikra Bikurim, and then he didn't bring it before Sukkot, so now he can't do Mikra Bikurim, so now we're saying, okay, it's gone, the mitzvah's gone. So v'yisal kadaitach, kriya in ma'akeves ben, amayir kavu. But if you say that kriya is not ma'akev, why is it gone? Why do we let the fruits rot? So don't do the Mikra Bikurim, you can still do the mitzvah! So says Mar Kid Rebbe Zeira. No, we're assuming like Rebbe Zeira, that the Mikra Bikurim in reality is not ma'akev, but if you don't even have the ability to do the Mikra Bikurim, then it's ma'akev. The Amar Rabbi Zera taught us a cloud, kolaroi lebila, ein bila ma'akeves bo. Someone who brings an isaron of flour and a log of shemen for a carbon mincha, which is the right amount, it's the right ratio, it's what you need to mix all the flour and the oil, an isaron of flour and a log of shemen is what you would need. So there's a mitzvah called bila, but if it, as long as you have the right amount, ein bila ma'akeves bo. Even if you don't actually do the bila, you don't actually mix them together, it's not going to be ma'akev. But for kol she'ena roi lebila, if you don't even have the right ratio, you don't have enough oil for the amount of flour that you brought, then bila ma'akev espo. Then the failure to do the bila is going to passel the entire carbon. So the same is true by bikurim. Since you were mafresh before sukkis, it became, with the intention of bringing before sukkis, it became chayiv in mikra bikurim. So the kriya would not be ma'akev. But once you delayed until after Sukkot, so now you don't even have the ability to do the Mikra Bikurim, now the Kriya is going to become Ma'akev. So we apply this in a number of different contexts. It just happens to be the original context was Bila by a Karban Mincha, but this is applied in a number of different contexts. The Gemara in Kiddushin, for example, applies this to tevila in a mikveh, that by tevila in a mikveh there are three parts to a human body or even to a kli that you would look at when you're talking about tevila. There's the what's called galui, the part of the body that's totally exposed to the atmosphere. There's what's completely balua, the part of the body that's never exposed to the atmosphere, the internal organs that are never exposed to the atmosphere. Those are easy. Whatever is galui, whatever is always exposed to the atmosphere, you need bias mayim, you can't have a chatzitza, right? Water has to touch all parts of that. Whatever is balua, it's pashut. You don't need bias mayim. There's no water that you don't have to flush out your entire, your liver and your kidneys and whatever, right? Obviously. But then there's this in-between spot, what's called the beis hastarim. The beis hastarim is the inside of the mouth, in the ears, the lower part of the nose, the eyes, any part that sometimes is exposed, and sometimes the armpits, sometimes exposed, sometimes not exposed. So that, the Gemara says, does not require bias mayim, but it needs to be ra'ui l'bias mayim. It needs to not have a chatzitza. Very often when I teach chassanim, they say, I don't get it. Why does she have to brush her teeth before going to the mikveh? Is she opening her mouth when she goes to the mikveh? If she does, she will likely drown. So no, we don't want someone opening their mouth when they go to the mikveh. That's the beis hastarim. You don't open the mouth when you go to the mikveh. But it needs to be ra'ui l'bias mayim in the area of beis hastarim. This is true of kelim as well. People don't realize that balua, there are parts of kelim that water doesn't have to touch. If it's a part of the kli, that's completely balua. And therefore, if let's say this is probably the correct heter of why a Keurig machine does not require tevila, because the only part of the machine that actually would require tevila, it's actually made of any metal, is completely balua in the kli. Meaning the only thing is the heating element. That's the only thing that's metal that would require anything. The rest of it is plastic. So that's completely balua in the kli. So anything that would not, that anything that's balua does not require tevila at all. Mele Keurig, that and the fact that it's a computer, and if you were to dip it in the mikveh, it would completely break. That's another issue. Okay, Rav Acha bar Yaakov Maslach at Rabbi Yassi Am Rav Yochanan. Rav Acha bar Yaakov taught this din that the Kriya is not Ma'akev and the Anacha is Ma'akev in the name of Rav Yassi Am Rav Yochanan. The Kashleid Rav Yochanan at Rav Yochanan. He therefore was faced with the stira within the Shita of Rav Yochanan. That Umiyam Rav Yochanan Bikurim Anacha Ma'akevis Ben, Kriya in Ma'akevis Ben. Does Rav Yochanan really hold that the Hanacha is Ma'akev by Bikurim, but the Mikra Bikurim is not Ma'akev? Va Bamine Rabbi Yassi, but Rabbi Yassi asked me Rabbi Yochanan. He asked the very same Rabbi Yochanan the following shayla: Bikurim me'emasai mutar in the Kohanim. When do the Bikurim become mutar for the Kohanim to eat? Va'amar leh, and Rabbi Yochanan said, Haru'uyin l'kriya, anything that's brought between Shavuos and Sukkot where you could do the Mikra, mishakara alein. It only becomes mutar to eat when they do the Mikra Bikurim. But v'she'en ru'uyin l'kriya, if it's not ra'uy for Mikra Bikurim, meaning you're bringing it between Sukkot and Chanukah, misharo p'nei abayis. Then you don't need to wait for anything. As soon as ro'u p'nei abayis, you don't even need to wait for the Hanukah. So kasha kriya kriya kasha anacha anacha. Apparently Rabbi Yochanan is saying that when there is Mikra Bikurim, Mikra is ma'akev. And he's saying Hanukah is never ma'akev. That when there's no Mikra Bikurim, even the Hanukah is not ma'akev. So it's a double stira. So kriya kriya lo kasha. The stira in kriya is not a kasha. Harabi Shimon, Harabanan. The Rabbi Yochanan's answer to Rabbi Yassi is like the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, that kriya is ma'akev. When Rabbi Yassi said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that it's not, that's assuming like the sheet of the Rabbanan, the kriya is not ma'akev, meaning Rabbi Yochanan is aware of the machlokas tanaim, hanacha, hanacha, nami lo kasha. And the stira in hanacha is also not a stira. Harab Yehuda vaharabanan. The answer that he gave to Rav Asi is like the sheet of Rav Yehuda, that the Anacha is not ma'akev. When Rav Asi said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that was like the Rabbanan who hold that the Anacha is ma'akev. It comes out a little funny, because his answer to Rav Asi was like two different Tanaim. About the Kriya, he was answering like Rabbi Shimon, and about the Anacha, he was answering like Rabbi Yehuda. So the Ritva says, that's not so strange, because it could be that Rabbi Yochanan paskins like Rabbi Shimon about the Kriya, and like Rabbi Yehuda about the Anacha, so that's perfectly fine. Or it could be that he knew that Rabbi Shimon would agree to Rabbi Yehuda about the Anacha, or Rabbi Yehuda would agree to Rabbi Shimon about the Kriya, meaning the two Pesachim are not mutually exclusive. They fit very nicely with each other, meaning it's possible that if you bring the Bikurim before Sukkot, then absolutely the Mikra Bikurim is Ma'akev. And if you bring it after Sukkot, then even the Anacha is not going to be Ma'akev at that point in time. So now the Gemara is going to get into where we find that Rabbi Yehuda said such a Shita. So the Bezushan will begin with that tomorrow, with my Rabbi Yehuda, where we have Rabbi Yehuda saying such a sheet.